بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We carry on with going through this blessed treatise, Ad-Durus al-Muhimma li'ammat al-Ummah, important lessons for every common Muslim of the Ummah, which was authored by the virtuous scholar, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And in the previous lesson, we ended at the tafsir of Surah Quraysh. And in this lesson, we come to Surah Al-Ma'un. And Surah Al-Ma'un, it has seven ayat in it, and it is Makkiya, meaning it was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the meaning of Al-Ma'un, the meaning of Al-Ma'un is help which is given to others. This is the meaning of Al-Ma'un. And Allah Jalla fil'ula, He begins this blessed surah by addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ أَرَأَيْتَ أي أرأيت يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أرأيت Have you seen O محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Do you see those people الذي يكذب بالدين The one who disbelieves in الدين And the word الدين In the Quran it comes with two different meanings The word الدين in the Quran it comes with two different meanings One of the meanings of ad-deen is al-amal, is actions. And the other meaning of ad-deen is al-jaza, is the recompense, the reward and the punishment for those actions. So ad-deen in the Quran, it has two almost opposite meanings. One meaning is the actions which a person does, and the other meaning is the reward or the recompense for those actions. So, when we say Deenul Islam, which is translated as the religion of Islam, we are referring to those actions which are legislated within Al-Islam. When Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah and make their deen sincere for him, meaning make their actions of ibadah sincere for him. So this is the first meaning of ad-deen, i.e. actions, al-a'mal. And the second meaning is al-jaza, wal-hisab. It is the reward or the punishment or the accountability of those actions. And an example of this is the saying in Surah Al-Fatiha, Maliki Yawm al-Din That Allah is Malik Allah is the owner of Yawm al-Din What is Yawm al-Din? Meaning Yawm al-Qiyamah But we know that on Yawm al-Qiyamah There are no more actions There are no more A'mal This is the time for actions And Yawm al-Qiyamah It is then the abode for recompense Accountability Reward and punishment And the meaning of ad-deen in this ayah, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ is meaning يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you see the one who disbelieves and he denies the resurrection and he denies the accountability and he denies the reward or the punishment in the hereafter? And this was from the beliefs of the Quraysh, that they did not used to accept the life of the hereafter. Allah said in the Quran, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا The people who disbelieve, they claim that they will not be resurrected once more. So the Quraysh and the Mushrikun at that time, they should deny and disbelieve in al-ba'thi ba'd al-maut. And this is what Allah Jalla fil Ula, he is referring to in this ayah. Ara'ayta ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen ay al-ma'ad wal-jaza wal-hisab. Do you see, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who disbelieves in the resurrection and the accountability, meaning in the hereafter. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. And he is the one, يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ, who is unjust, he oppresses, he coerces and forces al-yateem, the orphan. And in Islam, the meaning of al-yateem, الَّذِي فَقَدَ أَبَاهُ وَلَيْسَ بِبَالِغِ. This is the meaning of al-yateem. The one who has lost his father and he's under the age of puberty. So as long as a person is under the age of puberty and he loses his father, then he is considered to be a yateem. When he goes over the age of puberty, then we don't say that he is a yateem anymore. And of course the meaning or the wisdom is clear. That the one who is still young and he loses his father, and you know how the sons, especially the sons and also the daughters, the strength that they draw from their father and the stability that the father brings to the household, may Allah preserve and protect our fathers. When a person loses this, then he's given extra care and consideration in al-Islam. Up until he reaches the age of puberty and he himself becomes a man and he's now able to earn, so he's no longer considered a yatim anymore. And of course, the yatim, the orphan in Islam has a great status and a great position. In fact, there isn't any other religion on the face of this earth which attaches importance to looking after the yatim and the masakin and the fuqara and the neighbors and the duyuf like al-Islam does. So many ahadith and ayat have come ordering the Muslims to take care of the yatim and warning the Muslims from oppressing the yatim. No other religion on the face of the earth is like Islam when it comes to this point. And if only we showed the non-Muslims these aspects of al-Islam. And these are called manaqib al-Islam or fudail al-Islam, the virtues of al-Islam. What is it that distinguishes Islam from the other religions? From the points we can mention is how much Islam cares about the poor and the orphans and the needy and the widows and so on and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the seven major destructive sins. From amongst them, he made the one who consumes the wealth of the yatim without any right. He said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, avoid, stay away from the seven major destructive sins. And amongst them he said, أَكْلُ مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ. Eating, consuming, taking in the wealth of the yatim. And then Allah said, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And this person, because he disbelieves in the Akhirah, then neither does he encourage the people to feed the poor. He only cares about himself. Like they say, you only live once. So live life to the absolute maximum. And it's all about you and your life and independence from everybody else. And independence from your parents and your families and so on and so forth. Why? Because of disbelieving in the hereafter. And this, my brothers, this is one of the causes why people go towards atheism and why they renounce their religions, regardless of whether a person's religion is Christianity or Islam or any other religion. One of the reasons why they go towards atheism and disbelieve in a creator is because then they don't have to think about anything after death. So they don't have a conscience anymore. Do as you wish. Fulfill the desires, whatever you want. If you want women, go. If you want alcohol, go. If you want money, go. Because there is no akhirah, there is no creator, there is no hisab. So therefore do as you wish. So in order to remove themselves from this guilty conscience which they have in the back of their mind, how can I oppress, how can I fulfill my desires, how can I oppress, how can I deceive? Then one of the reasons and the causes is denying the akhirah and the hisab. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, he speaks about the munafiqun. And he mentions one of the signs or the indicators of a munafiq. He said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. He said, woe be to those people who pray, but when it comes to their prayers, they are very lax and lazy with regards to their salawat. And this refers to the five daily prayers, salawatul khams. Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ. The meaning of wail is either woe or a punishment in the hereafter. For who? Lil musallin, for those people who offer their salah. They offer their salah, but الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. But when it comes to their salawat, then they are negligent regarding them. And this refers to the munafiqun. And the ulama, they give different explanations to what is the meaning of sahun. What is the meaning of being negligent and lazy with regards to the salawat. So some of them said that this is a person, when it comes to a salah al-alaniyah, praying in front of others, then he establishes his prayers. But when he's at home and the time for the salah comes, then he does not offer his salah. This is the one who is intended in this ayah. And at that time, they were the munafiqun. This was an indicator of the munafiqeen, that in front of others they would offer their salah, but when it came to at home, then they would not offer their salah. Another explanation the ulama gave is there are those people who delay the prayer from its correct time without any excuse. So they always pray right at the end, or they allow the time to go without any excuse, and then they pray the salah. And from amongst the ulama are those who said that there are those people who pray but without fulfilling the shurut, the conditions, and the arkan, and the pillars, and the wajibat. They don't pray properly. All of these comes under the saying of Allah, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And they are those people who are merely upon Islam in order to show off. يُرَاءُونَ from riya, meaning the establishment of their prayers, it isn't because Allah has obligated it upon them and they fear the punishment of Allah and they want the reward of Allah. It is only to show others and to show off in front of others. And in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Jalla fil Ula, he mentioned regarding the munafiqun and how they pray. He said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. That the munafiqun, they try to deceive Allah, but they are the ones who are deceived by Allah. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And when they stand up for the salah, قَامُوا كُسَالَى. Then they stand in a very lazy way. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. Only to show off in front of the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not remember Allah except a very little. And then Allah says, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. And also, they prevent goodness reaching other people. Meaning these people who don't fear Allah and they don't have iman in the akhirah, and they forget that in the akhirah there is hisab and jaza, neither do they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and neither are they good towards the rest of creation. So neither do they have ihsan to Allah nor do they have ihsan in front of al-makhluq. And al-ihsan, this word al-ihsan, it comes in the Quran a lot. وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Show ihsan. Allah loves those people who shows al-ihsan. And this is the central theme in this surah. Showing ihsan. What is the meaning of al-ihsan? In the Arabic language, al-ihsan ضدul isa'a. Al-ihsan is the opposite of al-isa'a. And the meaning of al-isa'atu is showing harm, annoying, irritating other people. This is the meaning of al-isa'a, to harm somebody, to annoy somebody, to irritate somebody. This is the meaning of al-isa'a. And therefore, al-ihsan is the opposite, meaning to show goodness and to help and to not harm other people. This is the meaning of al-ihsan. And al-ihsan in Islam, it is two types. There are two types of ihsan. Al-ihsanu ila al-khaliq wal-ihsanu ila al-makhluq. Showing ihsan, showing goodness to the Creator, to Allah Jalla fil-ula, and also showing ihsan, showing goodness to the rest of creation. So as for al-ihsanu ila Allah, as for showing ihsan to Allah, then it is by fulfilling His commandments, the wajibat, staying away from haram, calling to the religion, calling to tawheed, and the other meanings which are contained in this. And as for al-ihsanu ila al-makhluq, showing goodness to creation, then the ulama, they have different statements regarding this. And perhaps the best one is what was mentioned by some of the salaf. They said, al-ihsanu ila al-khalq بذل المعروف وكف الأذى والصبر عن الأذى وطلق الوجه. This is al-ihsan towards creation, meaning بذل المعروف, that you try to show goodness to other people, you help other people, you aid other people, and you show goodness to the people. والكف عن الأذى, and at the same time you control yourself and your hands and your tongues, so you don't harm other people, you don't annoy other people. وَالصَّبْرُ عَنِ الْأَذَى, and you are patient upon the harms of other people. When other people try to annoy you or cause irritation or harm, then you remain patient and you tolerate them. وَالطَّلْقُ الْوَجْهِ, and smiling in front of others, meeting people in a good mood, in a jovial way. This is also from al-ihsan. And there are many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which emphasize the importance of al-ihsan towards other people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wallahu fi auni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi, that Allah will remain in the aid and the help and the support of a person as long as that person is aiding and helping his Muslim brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ahabbu an-nasi ila Allah anfa'uhum, that the best, most beloved people to Allah are those who are the most beneficial to other people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man naffasa an akhihi kurbatan min kurabid dunya, whoever alleviates an anxiety or a difficulty from the difficulties of the dunya from his brother, naffasallahu kurbatahu, naffasallahu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-akhirah, then Allah will remove for him a difficulty or a hardship or an anxiety from the anxieties of the akhirah. And many other ahadith, beautiful ahadith with this meaning. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wala an amshi ma'a akhi muslim fi hajatin ahabbu ilayya min an a'takifa fil masjidi shahran. He said, for me to walk with my Muslim brother, to help him, to take care in one of his needs, is more beloved to me that I perform i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. So look at the great reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying this, and he is in Al-Madinah. It was more beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to help a Muslim and to walk with him just to fulfill a need than to make i'tikaf in Al-Masjid Nabawi for a whole month. And these are the beautiful meanings of al-Islam. And this is how the Muslims should be with each other. And this is the meaning of the Muslims being a single ummah. And the Muslims being like brothers and sisters amongst each other. That we advise each other when it comes to the akhirah, no doubt. And even in our needs of the dunya, then we try to help each other.
Even in the most simple of matters. Fulan, he needs a lift. Somebody's child needs some help with homework. For example, you're driving and you can see rain and you see an elder Muslim woman. So you help her, you give her a lift, and meanings like this. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that the believers, the males and the females amongst them, they are guardians of each other. And other ayat which give us these meanings. And Ikrimah, and he was from the Tabi'een, meaning he was from the students of the Sahaba. He explained the word Ma'un. When Allah said, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, they prevent al-ma'un. What is the meaning of ma'un? He said, رَأْسُ الْمَاعُونَ زَكَاتُ الْأَمْوَالِ, that the head of al-ma'un, the greatest meaning of al-ma'un is giving zakah. This is where ma'un starts. Giving al-ma'un, it is giving a zakah. This is the most obligatory form. وَأَدْنَاهُ, and the least form of ma'un is what? Al-Mankhal wa-Dilwu wal-Ibra, is, you know, a sieve that people use for flour, and a bucket and a needle. Your neighbor, for example, requires a sieve. Somebody needs a bucket, a small needle. This is the lowest form of ma'un that a person can give. I lending something, even if it's something which is insignificant, just lending it to somebody, this also comes under al-ma'un. And then we come to the next surah, and it is Suratul Kawthar, in which Allah Jalla fil Ula says, and it is three ayat, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Allah Jalla fil Ula, he says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, verily we have given you, we have granted you the kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar, so turn to your Lord in salah, wanhar, and slaughter in His name. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar, verily your enemy, the one who hates you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will be cut off. Meaning cut off from every type of goodness. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, he begins this surah by mentioning, by giving the glad tidings to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and mentioning the great reward for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah, and it is al-kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, verily O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have granted you, we have bestowed upon you al-kawthar. And what is al-kawthar? Al-kawthar is that pond, or that fountain, or that spring in Al-Jannah that the believers will drink from. May Allah make us from them. And there are two ponds that sometimes people get confused over. There is Al-Kawthar and there is Al-Hawd. What is the difference between Al-Kawthar and what is the difference between Al-Hawd? Al-Hawd and Al-Kawthar, both of them are sources that people will drink from on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. However, the difference between them is that Al-Hawd will be after Yawm Al-Qiyamah upon this earth, and Al-Kawthar it is in Jannah. This is the first difference, that Al-Hawd is in upon the earth after the trumpets have been blown and Yawm Al-Qiyamah takes place. Hawd will be upon the earth. And as for the Kawthar, then it is in Jannah. The second difference is that Al-Kawthar will be much bigger and much greater than Al-Hawd. And the third difference is, as is mentioned in some of the ahadith, that water will be channeled from Al-Kawthar to the Hawd, which is upon this earth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described Al-Hawd, that on that day when the trumpet is blown and everybody is resurrected, and then after this all of them are taken to the mahshar, to the land in which everybody will be gathered, and the sun, it will be brought very close to the people, and people will sweat, and their sweat will reach different levels according to their sins. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there will be those people whose sweat reaches their ankles because of a little amount of sins, and those to their knees, and those to their hips, and so on and so forth. And amongst them will be those people, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. Those seven groups of people whom Allah will shade under the shade of His throne on a day in which there is no other shade. And then after this, there will be the hisab and the jaza. There will be the resurrection. There will be the accountability in front of Allah. So ashabul yameen, the people of righteousness, the people of iman, they will be given their records in their right hand. And the people of evil will be given their record in front into their left hand. And then, because of the severe thirst, then the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go towards Al-Hawd. And Al-Hawd will be this great pond or this great lake which the believers will drink from. And they will quench their thirst from it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَنَا فَرَطُكُمْ إِلَى الْحَوْضِ, that I will be the first amongst you to the Hawd. Meaning when the believers go to the Hawd, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will already be there. And then there will be a group of people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَعْرِفُنِي وَأَعْرِفُهُمْ, I know them and they will know me. And they will come to the Hawd, but they will be prevented from drinking from the Hawd. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will say, Ya Rab ummati ummati, O my Lord, these are my people, this is my ummah, why are they being prevented from Al-Hawd? And an angel will say, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, La tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak, that you do not know what these people did after you. You do not know how they changed the religion after you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, suhqan suhqan, ay bu'dan bu'dan, far away, be far away, alladhi ghayyara ba'di, the one who changed the religion after me. And this relates either to the A'rab, to the Bedouins at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just before his death, when he gave them Islam, and some of them entered into Islam but they were weak upon Islam. All the munafiqun who were there at that time and they were just showing Islam but they weren't really Muslims. All those people who, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, then they started claiming an-nubuwwah and claiming prophethood. And some of the ulama mentioned that it refers to those people who innovate. Why? Because they changed the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point is that Al-Hawd, this is the lake or the pond on the earth, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Al-Kawthar, this is the fountain or the spring in Jannah. Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, and Allah has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his ummah Al-Kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So Allah says, because of this great blessing that I have given you, then show shukr to me. How do you show shukr to Allah? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, offer your salawat to your Lord. And this is also a command of At-Tawheed. وَنْحَرْ, and slaughter in the name of Allah. This is also a command of At-Tawheed. Meaning صَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَلَا صَلِّ لِغَيْرِهِ, offer your salawat and your du'as and your invocations and your supplications to Allah and not anybody else besides Allah. وَنْحَرْ, أي وَنْحَرْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا بِسْمِ غَيْرِهِ, and slaughter, meaning slaughter in the name of Allah, and do not slaughter in the name of others, of the awliya and the prophets and the jinn and the angels, don't slaughter in their names. And then Allah said, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبَتَرِ, أي مُبْغِذُكَ يَا مُحَمَّدِ وَمُبْغِذُ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْحَقِّ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ هُوَ الْأَقَلْ هُوَ الْأَذَلْ, that the one who hates you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he hates that which you came with, your guidance and your religion and your sunnah, هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ, He is the one who is cut off. He is the one who is deficient. He is the one who will be humiliated. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he has a beautiful, beautiful tafsir of this surah, Suratul Kawthar. And if you can refer back to it, then refer back to it. I don't know if it has been translated into English. And he mentions this ayah, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar, that the one who hates you will be cut off. He says, وَكَذَا مَنْ آثَرَ كَلَامَ النَّاسِ وَعُلُومِهِمْ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُنَّةِ, that this ayah, that the one who hates you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll be cut off and deficient. He said, and also the one who gives preference to the speech of the people and the sciences of the people over the Quran and the Sunnah, he also comes under this ayah. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ شَانَ لَمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ مَا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ, because if it wasn't for the fact that he has some level of hatred of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would not do this. Why would a person accept the speech of the people and the opinions of the people and the sciences of the people over that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with from guidance and from huda and from the religion of truth, except that he has something in his heart against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he also said, Ahlu sunnati yamutun wa yuhyi dhikrahum, that Ahlu sunnah, the people of the sunnah, even though they die, but their remembrance, it stays alive. Wa ahlul bid'ati yamutun wa yamutu dhikruhum, and the people of innovation, they die, and also they mention, it also dies. لِأَنَّ أَهْلَ السُنَّةِ أَحْيَوْ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ فَكَانَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْ قَوْلِ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, and this is because Ahlul Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, when they revived that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, when they gave life to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then for them is a portion of the saying of Allah, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have raised your remembrance. وَأَهْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ شَنَّأُوا مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ, and as for the people of innovation, then they cut off from that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. فَكَانَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْ قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ, then they also have a portion or a share of the saying of Allah, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ, that your enemy, the one who hates you, will be cut off. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned two things regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your remembrance and your mention, we have elevated it. And as for the enemies of the Prophet, he said, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ, and as for your enemies, those who hate you and those who hate your sunnah, then we have humiliated them. So Allah has elevated and honored the mention of the Prophet, and he has cut off and humiliated the enemies of the Prophet. And Ahlul Sunnah have a share of this ayah, and Ahlul Bid'ah have a share of this ayah. So the person of the Sunnah who is firm upon the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and he calls to the Sunnah and he warns against the innovations, he also enters into وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And those people who abandon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they fall into the innovations, then they have a share, they have a nasib and a portion of إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. And then after this we come to the next ayah or the next surah, and it is Suratul Kafirun. And this is Suratun Makkiyah, and it is 6 ayat. And it is the saying of Allah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدَ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. And this surah, which all of us have memorized and our children memorized, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it is equal to ta'dilu rub' al-Qur'an. It is equal to a fourth of the Quran in its importance, in its meanings. It is equal to a fourth or a quarter of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'd recite Surah Al-Kafirun in various times throughout the day. So Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrates, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَرَأَ بِهَذِهِ السُّورَةِ وَسُورَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي رَكْعَتَيِ الطَّوَافِ. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas and Surah Al-Kafirun in the two rak'at of At-Tawaf. Meaning after a person has performed Tawaf, and then he prays the two rak'at after, behind Maqam Ibrahim, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would recite. And also Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأهما في ركعتي الفجر. That the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would recite these two chapters of the Quran, Al-Ikhlas wal-Kafirun, in the two rak'at of Al-Fajr. And also in Al-Witr, he would recite سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, and then Surah Al-Kafirun, and then Surah Al-Ikhlas. And he also said صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا أويت إلى فراشك, that when you retire to your bed, when you go to sleep, فقرأ قل يا أيها الكافرون, then recite Surah Al-Kafirun, فإنها براءة من الشرك, because it is براءة من الشرك, that a person is absolving himself, freeing himself from a shirk. And this is the meaning which is contained in this ayah, that a person, he absolves himself and he frees himself from shirk and the actions of shirk and the people of ash-shirk. And some of the mufassirun, they mention that this surah, it was revealed when the Quraysh came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to negotiate with him. So one of the negotiation which they had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, okay, we will give you what you want. Why don't we divide the authority between us? So 1 year will be for Islam. You can have Mecca for a whole year, and the Kaaba and the Haram is yours for a whole year, and all of us will worship Allah for a whole year. And then the next year will be for us and for our idols, and then everybody has to worship our idols. And then Allah revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, O disbelievers, those who are offering this exchange and this negotiation, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I do not worship that which you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, no will you worship that which I worship. Meaning, I will not worship the idols and the suns and the sun and the moon and the angels and the jinn and the awliya, the asnam, which you worship. And you are not going to worship who I worship, meaning Allah Jalla fil Ula. ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد, and you are not going to worship like I worship, and neither will I worship like you worship, meaning your mode of worship, how you worship. لكم دينكم ولي دين, so for you are your actions, hear the word deen, it means actions, for you are your actions and for me is my action. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to distinguish himself from those people in two things. In who they are worshipping, meaning the idols and the false deities, and how they are worshipping. And this is what is upon the Muslim, that you have to worship who Allah worshipped. Afwan, a'udhu billah. You have to worship who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam worshipped, and you have to worship him how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped him. So it's not enough for a person to worship Allah, but worship how he wants to worship. You have to worship who the Prophet worshipped, meaning Allah, and you have to worship him how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped him. And then in the last ayah, Allah says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ, for you are your actions, for you is your religion, for you is your worship, and for me is my religion and my actions. Like Allah said, وَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقُلْ لِي عَمَلِي وَلَكُمْ عَمَلُكُمْ, and if they disbelieve in you, then say to them, for me is my worship and my actions, and for you is your actions. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di in his tafsir al-Sa'di, in this last ayah, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ أَيْ لَكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَلِيَ الْإِسْلَامِ, he mentions a beautiful statement. He said, وَلِهَذَا مَيَّزَ بَيْنَ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ, that with this ayah, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, Allah distinguished between these two groups. Between the people of Islam and the people of Kufr, Allah has separated and distinguished between them. وَفَصَّلَ بَيْنَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ, and Allah has separated these two groups. فَقَالَ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, so he said, for you is your religion and for me is my religion. وَقَالَ, and he said, قُلْ كُلٌ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the other group, let every person worship how he wants to worship. And Allah said, أَنْتُمْ بَرِئُونَ مِمَّا أَعْمَلُ وَأَنَا بَرِئٌ مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and you are free from that which I do, and I am free from that which you do. So there has to be a segregation and a separation between kufr wa ahlul kufr and between Islam wa ahlul Islam. And then finally, brothers, there is a point that some people, they try to misinterpret this ayah. When Allah said, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, for you are your actions and for me are my actions. When Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ كُلٌ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ, say, let every person do actions according to his own way. This isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting and giving people the choice or the freedom to do as they want. Some people of misguidance, they say, look, this ayah, it proves a person has the freedom to do what he wants and the freedom to worship whoever he wants and the freedom of choice. No. Allah mentioned these ayat fi siyaq al-dham. Allah has mentioned them and He's dispraising them. Meaning He's saying, the people of kufr, if they choose to disbelieve in al-Islam, then let them do their actions. And in the hereafter, will for them be the adab. And the people of righteousness and tawheed who accept the message, then let them do their actions, and in the akhirah, for them is the reward. So do not be deceived by those people who use these ayat and say, look, Islam allows religious freedom. Islam allows people to go upon their own ways. No, it doesn't. Islam obligates upon every single human to follow at-tawheed and to live according to al-Islam. This is the obligation. After that, a person is free to choose. Do you want to choose al-Islam and therefore for you will be the reward of Islam? Or do you want to choose al-kufr and therefore for you will be the punishment of al-kufr? Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.